Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Hi, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
My name is David Bell.
My name is not. It's Tom Ryman.
And we just watched Personal Shopper.
Personnel Shopper.
With the Twilight. It's the Twilight.
With the Twilight, starring Mrs. Twilight.
My twin brother of us died here.
It's been 95 days.
We made this oath. Whoever died first would send the other a sign.
From the afterlife.
Has that always been there?
Lewis, are you here?
So it's Thursday, right?
Is it?
I'm asking.
Do we even know what day it is? We've been hotboxing it with this virus for like 3 weeks now.
Okay. I'm like 80% sure it's Thursday, which means that we have a We Just Watched Classic brought to you by our Patreon subscribers. In this case, it's Patreon subscriber Ozzy.
Ozzy.
Hi. Hi, thank you so much, Ozzy. Thanks for I'm not gonna say making me watch or introducing me to Personal Shopper. It's more like thank you for letting me talk about Personal Shopper.
Right. It's a movie that both Dave and I had seen before. But we will say thank you for continuing to support our Patreon.
Yes. Also that. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was my third viewing of Personal Shopper, a movie that I really, really like.
Yeah, this would have been my second. I enjoy this movie. It scared the hell out of me.
Yeah, it is currently, it's available on the YouTube and like on like some, like iTunes for rent, but it's only available to buy on Amazon. So I just bought it because I realized I'm not going to stop watching this movie. So I just bought it.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I guess, a horror movie.
I would call it a supernatural thriller. Yeah.
Yeah. It is directed by a guy who doesn't do horror movies, which is part of why I really like it.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it's not filmed like a horror movie. It's not filmed like a traditional horror movie. It doesn't go with the tropes. There's no music. There's no jump scare sounds.
No, that's
for
true.
The most part, it's more shot like a thriller, more like a drama.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got some layers.
Yeah, obviously, if you haven't seen Personal Shopper, it's definitely worth watching. It is scary. Don't watch it at night, like late at night, which is how I watched it for the first time. It was like 10:30. I was like, you know what? I keep meaning to watch Personal Shopper. I'm going to put Personal Shopper on. Don't do that. Don't do what I did. That's a stupid thing to do. Why would you ever do that?
Some people will argue that it's boring. The first time I heard about this movie was from Andy Sell, who is doing a Best Bad Movie. And he framed this movie as really bad, but had one of the scariest ghosts in it. And then I watched it. And he's been on Best Bad Movie a few times, so I don't know about his taste. And I watched it, and I was like, oh, not only does this have one of the scariest ghosts in it, but it's not a bad movie. It's actually a really good movie.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And
it's
there's
just slow.
Yeah, it's, well, it's not even that it's...
Yeah, it's slow by horror standards. Again, it's more like a thriller than a horror. That's probably...
It's like an hour and 45 minutes. It's paced like a thriller.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of moments in it where something undeniably supernatural happens, and every single one of them scared the shit out of me.
Even though what's interesting about it is that the ghosts or the supernatural elements, they're not the threat of the movie. People are the threat.
Yes.
They're just, it's more, it's like chilling, the supernatural elements. There's one part where the ghost is, comes off as a threat, but ultimately isn't a threat because it can't do anything. It's just,
as far as we know.
As far as we know, that's true.
No, it just, it leaves, but it like,
it, yeah. If for people who haven't watched it,
it makes its presence known.
Yeah. For people who haven't watched it, and people should watch it before listening to this, because we're going to spoil it.
Yeah, we're going to spoil it, the shit out of it.
Yeah, it stars Kristen Stewart, and she is the, well, personal shopper of a very rich lady.
She's a famous model.
Famous model. Okay, mm-hmm. Got it. And they're not, I guess they're not vague on it, because she does the photo shoot scene, but you don't see her much, and so that's like one of the plots. There's like five plots. She's selling her, is it the house they grew up in?
It's the house that her brother was living in.
That's it.
She's in selling, France.
Yeah, her brother has died from a heart attack. Her twin brother, who has the exact same heart condition as her.
Mm-hmm.
So she's nervous that she could die. There's a part where she goes to the doctor, and the doctor's like, look, there was nothing wrong with him, and then he just died. And I don't see anything wrong with you either. So it's not very like reassuring. And so it's about her trying to get a sign from her brother from the afterlife, because they were both mediums as well. Or mm-hmm. at least that's what she says.
Or they believed that they were.
Yeah. And they had a pact that if one of them died before the other, they would leave some sort of sign. So she's in Paris, working for this woman that she doesn't really care about. She doesn't like the job. And she's just...
Yeah,
waiting for her brother to give her a sign. That's how what she says. She says she doesn't like the job.
Right. It's not. It's not. Like they're clearly like the model's name is Kira, and they're clearly not friends.
Yeah.
But she doesn't dislike Kira.
No, she just has the scene with she's talking to her boyfriend, and she says like, "I hate it. I hate the job. I hate her. She sucks." And she's sort of dismissive of it. I think. I think that the general idea of the movie is, because from the title Personal Shopper, it occurred to me what that title means in this.
Yeah.
Is the idea that she's obviously a personal shopper, but she has such an intimate connection to this woman without actually being connected to her. And the movie is really about her finding some sort of intimate connection with somebody. Hence personal shopper. Like it's really about her like sort of mourning the death of her brother and not wanting to get over it, and also trying to connect with some people, and it doesn't go good.
Not at all whatsoever. Yeah. I don't think she successfully connects with anyone. I think it also refers to obviously her search for a sign from her brother, because like you said, it's being intimate with somebody, like, cause you're like a, you know, you're buying their wardrobe and the clothes that they like and the things that they need. So it's like you have such a knowledge and an impact on this person's existence, but you're never actually in contact with them. And that's sort of like searching for a ghost. And it also is like being a ghost.
Yes.
So my question to you is, does she die in the hotel?
I have that question too. I think it... Okay, we're in spoilers territory.
Oh, yeah.
The other ghost-like... presence, like Kira, is also the guy who ends up murdering Kira. What I like
and
about
possibly her
and possibly her. What I like is that we see him in the beginning. He says something like, she says like, "I'm going to see her tomorrow to get those pants." And he says, "Do you know she'll be here tomorrow?" And I was like, "Ooh, this is good foreshadowing."
Yeah, but you don't notice it the first time you watch it, because she like just came back from like I forget where. She's constantly traveling all over the world to do different events and galas and fashion shoots and stuff.
The movie does a great job at implicating this guy without ever spelling it out, because she meets this guy and he's dating Kira, who's married, like he's on the side.
Mm-hmm.
He says it's purely sexual. And that he thinks she wants to dump him. And it's a casual conversation that sets up a possible romance, because then she meets him, she leaves, and she starts getting texts from an unknown number. And you kind of know it's him. Like, I don't think there's much of a mystery there, but technically speaking, they never say it.
No, and also Kristen Stewart, who's, I forget her name in the movie,
I do too. It's a weird name.
Yeah, but like she's kind of wondering if it's her brother.
Yes, which is a hilarious. She texts, "Are you alive or dead?" Which that's a big red flag.
Yeah.
If you're texting a lady and she sends you that back, you should be like, "Oh, okay, never mind."
All right, maybe I should stop this weird catfishing game that I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah, cuz he's sending these like edgelordy texts to her like, "Guess who it is?"
Yeah. He's like trying to be all mysterious and weird.
Yeah, and it's like, "Come on, dude. Come on." And he's sort of a ghost throughout the movie. Because we never see him through anything but the texts. And then when she comes to find Kira murdered, the texts keep coming, but they become sinister.
Yeah.
And so he continues, like, the pattern continues, but it just becomes scary as shit until we get that amazing scene where she, like, picks up her phone and there's a bunch of unread texts and they all blip one after another. And each one is the unknown number saying that he's getting closer to where she is.
Yeah.
Until it's, I'm like right outside. And it's like a 3 minute ago text, which is terrific. And then he basically blackmails her. He plants jewelry that was her employer's on her and says, "Meet me at this hotel." And she goes to the hotel. And the scene, just at the beginning of your question, the scene is a shot of her in the hotel room. No one's there. It fades to black. And then it fades up. And it follows the hotel hallway, and the elevator door opens and nothing's there. And it shows the lobby and the elevator door opens and nothing's there. And then the automatic doors to the outside opens and nothing's there. And the implication is there's some sort of spirit leaving the hotel.
Yes.
And then it cuts to the guy leaving the room.
Mm-hmm.
And that implies that, yes, he in fact killed her.
And her spirit has left the hotel.
Yes. The thing is that the rest of the movie doesn't really show that. She has full conversations with people.
She has a conversation with her dead brother's former girlfriend in the garden of the house she's staying at now with a new guy she's dating who is a friend of her brother's.
Yes. And that's a very what's the word? It's not abstract, the scene at all.
No.
And so it does seem like there's a way to interpret the film, because what also happens after that is she is able to kind of see her brother. She sees a ghost before she dies, though, or before she might, you know, this point where she could have died. They do make a note to talk about how, like, the brother believed that people wander the earth for a little bit after they die.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and we see the ghost that she sees in the beginning in her brother's house is like this fucked up, terrifying looking like wraith.
Yes, that ghost. I love that it crackled with electricity and it felt like it was almost scientific in nature. You know what I mean? Like it felt like this is what a ghost could look like. It's not abstract. It's not just a person that you can see through.
Right. It was kind of abstract. Like it didn't quite have it didn't quite have a face. It didn't quite have a form.
I guess I mean, yeah, it's not fantastical. Like it felt like a mist made of some material.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I really liked the effort they put into it. That's the ghost that is supposedly one of the most scariest ghosts, according to Andy Sell. That's the ghost, and it is fucking scary.
It is because you're not expecting it. Like the movie has been sort of suspenseful, but not. It's not setting you up in a way that you're expecting to see a full blown ass ghost like that, and then it just is there. You're like, oh shit!
Because it's not up until that point. They don't, like, for example, she's in that house and the water starts running. And if this was like a typical horror movie, they would like really, really stretch out the "I have to get to this faucet to shut it off," you know? But because her character is absolutely looking for a ghost, there's no tension. She walks right up to it and she's like, "Show yourself." Like they don't fabricate the tension in the scenes that a horror movie might try to get tension out of, which is good. It's good that they don't do that.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and so when something actually happens, you're even more surprised by it.
In that scene in the garden, it's one of the last scenes of the movie. The lady gets up and leaves, and
Kristen Stewart leaves.
That's right. The boyfriend leaves.
Yeah.
And Kristen Stewart's still sitting there, and you're thinking about the conversation they just had. And you can see, you sort of notice a guy standing in the window behind her. And so you sort of assume like it's the guy she just talked to. And then it starts sliding towards the doorway, not walking. It's just like sliding, holding this glass of water.
You only see the torso.
Yeah.
So it's through the window.
And it's like not making any I don't know how they did it unless they, excuse me.
It was probably a visual effect because he goes behind her. And then it's just the cup.
And then it's just the glass and it drops on the ground. So the implication is that was her brother.
Yeah. And it's such a good moment because it gets me every time because your eyes are drifting in that scene and it's not somewhere you necessarily would notice them.
Right.
And then when you do, you're like, oh, shit.
Right. It's like, it doesn't sound like it, but it's like really fucking creepy when it happens.
It is because there's no music. It's completely silent. They don't spell it out. It's what they do is because the glass drops at the end. And so I think what would happen to a lot of people watching this, like I noticed it the first time, but I think if you don't, you'll have to rewind it because you'll be like, wait, what the fuck just happened? Because the glass dropping definitely is noticeable, but everything up until that point, you actually have to kind of be looking.
Yeah, the thing that clawed at me the most in terms of being scary was just the way it moves.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that's what caught my eye. I was like, what the fuck is he doing? And then it's like you kind of sort of realize that like, oh, wait a minute. And then, you know, it passes behind her and it's just a glass. You're like, oh, shit. It's very Lake Mungo.
Yes. There's something great about that. It's very Lake Mungo in that it's also, a lot about mourning and about being like she misses him, essentially, because the glass breaks behind her and she just thinks the glass was on the edge of the counter.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that because it's like, her one, she's been searching for this thing, mm-hmm. and he's right there, and she doesn't see it.
No, and so my question then is, does she not see it because she's dead?
Well,
because she talks to the boyfriend, and then she goes to Oman where her boyfriend or guy that she's kind of dating is, but I don't think she actually speaks to him. Like she shows up to his house and he's not there.
Right. He left a note, but she did talk to the other people. I think it's open for interpretation. I think the idea is because there's the ending scene is they set it mm-hmm. up early that there's these psychics that do the knocking system where you're talking to a spirit and they knock once for yes, twice for no.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like take two for the brother. Like she goes, is it a hotel that she goes to? It's like the room where her boyfriend leaves.
It's wherever her boyfriend is staying. So it's like, it's maybe like a hostel or some, you know.
Right. It looked very cool. She goes to the other room and there's a glass floating there like it was with the brother. And the glass drops and then she starts talking and she says like, what's the brother's name?
Oh.
It's like a real easy name too. It's like a Brian, but it's not Brian.
Lewis.
Thank you. And she says, is it you? And there's like one knock. And
no, then there's a silence.
Okay. Well, what I remember, she says, are you at peace? And there's one knock. And then she asks a couple questions. She says, are you not at peace? And there's one knock. And then she says, are you messing with me? And I think there's a silence there. And so it becomes unclear whether the ghost is him. And then she mm-hmm. says, I don't know you. And also the knocks are like aggressive and she flinches at them. And then she says like, is it you?
Right. That's right. After it sort of is like fucking with her for a second, then she's just straight up like, Lewis, is it you? And then it's silence. And then she repeats the question and it's silence. And then she says, or is it just me? And then there's one knock.
Yep.
And that's how the movie's ends.
Over.
Yep.
And I couldn't tell if the idea was that because the scene in the garden implies that her brother is there.
Yes.
And that this is, and the fact that it's another floating glass makes me feel like, okay, this is also the brother. And her saying, I don't know you, and the not, it's almost like she doesn't want to let go. Because I feel like her being in Paris, her saying, like, I'm waiting for a sign, it's a lot of her just not wanting to let go of her brother.
That's true, yeah.
Because it's not like she doesn't know ghosts exist at that point.
Right.
So I feel like the ending is almost she doesn't want to accept that it's him because then she has to finally move on. That's one interpretation. But there's multiple interpretations because the dead thing's really compelling because going back to the lobby, if he didn't kill her, what are we seeing there?
I have no idea how else to interpret that sequence. And we don't see her leave the hotel. We don't see her talk to the police after that. We just see her. It just the next time we see her, she's already sitting in new boyfriend's garden talking to him.
Right. The only other way to interpret that is we're watching kind of the scenes in out of order. Meaning that she went to the hotel after... Because what you see is the killer leaves the hotel. He walks into downstairs. He runs into the cops. And he shoots one and runs. And it's very clearly, okay, they got him. So the other interpretation is that she went to the hotel after that happened. Like we're seeing a flashback. Or they just sort of missed each other. And that the ghost we're seeing is Lewis... in some way protecting her.
Oh, maybe.
But yeah, that was the other, that's the other version.
I hadn't thought about that. That's interesting.
Yeah. It's very, it's hard because this movie is the kind of movie where sequences can be out of order.
You're never given an indication of that though. So that's my only, like we're never prompted or not even prompted. We're never told that that's a possibility in this movie, which doesn't necessarily mean that it's not. It's just,
yeah, it's hard.
It's harder to accept. But then of course, how do we explain that she's having a full ass conversation if she's a ghost?
Right. The other possibility would also mean it's out of order is that that conversation
happened before she goes to the hotel.
Yes, but she doesn't she say in that conversation that the cops got him?
Yes.
No, it's the conversation. She goes to the homeowners, the people buying the house. Isn't that? There's like two scenes. She goes into a cafe after they catch him and has a conversation there. And then.
Oh, yeah.
It would be really weird if those were all jumbled, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's all very linear. Mm-hmm. That's the only sequence that. Is
That's like the most confounding sequence of the movie, and I don't know what it means.
And I feel like that's part of the point, right?
Yeah.
The most direct interpretation of that scene is that she died.
But it's hard to explain it, though.
It's hard to explain what happens afterwards, because here's the thing is he gets grabbed by the two cops, and he starts shooting at him and runs.
Mm-hmm.
That's the desperation of a man who just committed a murder.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Not a man who maybe thinks, oh, I could get away with this. I committed the murder days ago. Like he has a gun on him, which I guess he brought to murder Kristen Stewart.
Yeah.
So that's more evidence towards she was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird because there's not, you know, this movie is. Again, it's not a horror. It doesn't do like a big Sixth Sense thing. It doesn't do a big reveal. And if you're casually watching, you might not even like think about the scene. The weird sequence of events is just because the next couple scenes then say, oh, he was arrested and everything's fine. But it's such a weird depiction of that.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it never shows what happens to her in the hotel room is the biggie. It never shows her leave it.
Right, and the fact that it fades to black out and then fades back in.
Yep.
That means something.
Yep. It could also be an abstract interpretation where, like, the scene where you see all the doors go, it's not that she's actually dead, it's just that she feels like a ghost or something like that.
That's true,
because we talked about the fact that she's kind of a ghost already in the film.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's a weird interpretation.
Or that it's something, I don't know. I don't know.
It could have been her heart. Because I saw a comment online, actually. Someone was like, do you think the brother died because he saw a ghost? And that's what the heart attack was. And it's like, oh, maybe terror.
That was my interpretation because of a scene we haven't. That's actually what I think happened to Lewis because of a scene we haven't discussed yet.
What scene?
The scene where she finds Kira's body.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, to me, is the scariest moment in the movie.
It's so fucking scary.
Oh, my God.
Because it's exactly, you know, finding a body isn't not fun. And then the realization that he might still be there.
He might be there.
Oh,
also,
or it's her?
Could be an angry-ass ghost there.
Yeah, you're right. It could be an angry-ass ghost.
Because there's somebody, like, opening and slamming a closet door.
Right.
Repeatedly, and it's filmed at, like, the discovery is horrific, and then, like, the filming of the apartment is done in such a way that we can hear the noise, but we know what it is, but it's right. From Kristen Stewart's point of view, and she obviously, because I wouldn't, she doesn't quite move in far enough to see what's actually happening, because I'd be like, you know what, fuck this, I'm out, and that's what she does.
Yes, what I really like, again, this is almost the anti-horror thing, is she gets the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
And then they cut to her talking to the cops, and she's like, and then I realized I should probably go back and call the cops.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, that's wonderful. She did exactly what a actual person should do.
Right, you run the fuck out of the building.
Yeah, and then you stop, take a breath, and you go, wait, I need to go back to the crime scene and call the cops.
Or at least, like, back to the building. Yeah.
Back to the building.
I would not go back upstairs until the cops got there.
Yeah.
I'm not going back in that room by myself.
There's an interpretation here where, because she meets the ghost in the brother's house that's horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And that ghost is probably, she sort of says, like, I don't know who it was, but it seemed to leave. It vomited ectoplasm and it fucking bounced. And then there's, the other ghost during the murder. And I feel like the implication is that it's not the same ghost, but it's the idea that there's a type of ghost where it's like, if you die violently or in a horrible way, your ghost is in pain after. Your ghost is menacing. Like,
right.
Is that the interpretation there? Whereas the brother, when we see that ghost, there's like more neutral ghosts.
Yeah, and there's an idea that maybe, because the only ghosts we've seen so far are angry. So there's right. The implication, because he appears at the new boyfriend's house, that maybe he's angry that his girlfriend's moved on.
Right. I'm sure he's a little peeved.
Yeah, particularly because the new boyfriend was one of his friends.
Yeah, he's drinking out of his favorite mug, gliding along the kitchen like, motherfucker. I see you. I see you.
I see you. I see you, Pete, or whatever his name was. I think we also, don't we briefly see that manor house ghost again when she goes to Kira's apartment and puts on her clothes and sleeps in her bed?
Oh, I didn't notice it there.
I think there's like a brief image of it there.
Hmm. Which implies that it followed her.
Yeah.
There's also, there's the idea that the ghost is Kira and that it's just, it's time is different.
Possibly, yeah. I think it's definitely the ghost that she encounters when she finds Kira's body is Kira's.
Yes.
If for no other reason than she's angry that she's murdered, but she's also pissed that, like, she probably obviously came back and could tell that, like, somebody had slept in her bed and, like, worn her clothes, which is why she's, like, slamming the closet.
You're right. She's pissed that she put on her clothes.
Yep.
Oh, that's great.
It may not sound scary, but I swear that scene is like,
well, it's got these levels to it.
Yeah,
like what you just said, the who's been in my closet aspect is fucking creepy.
And just the way it's shot.
Yeah. Oh, the way it's shot for sure.
Yeah.
And then the murderer is the guy who is like texting her, telling her to put on the clothes.
Mm-hmm.
The weird near miss feeling for the murder, the feeling that like she
right,
could
it
been
clearly
murdered.
Just happened.
Yeah. It's just like the fact that, yeah, she has this close relationship to this woman. So at any point she could have come over and seen the murder happen. The texts are horrifying. It's just everything around it is so fucking scary.
Yeah.
Because of how little they show too.
Mm-hmm.
They give you bits, and like the more you think about it, the more these things unfold, and you're like, oh fuck, that's really creepy.
Yeah.
Because they don't spell it out. They don't spell it out.
No, obviously. I mean, clearly, because we still can't figure out what the hotel scene is.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm not sure I'm supposed to figure it out completely.
I don't know. It's clearly something leaving her.
Yeah.
Or leaving whatever she left in that room.
Right.
Which could imply that he assaulted her. It could imply that she's been murdered. It could imply that, I don't know what it implies. It could imply that her brother's spirit is leaving, like you suggested, or maybe it was the other ghost, but I don't know how that would tie in.
Right, because they never show if they even met in that hotel room.
No, they don't. We have no idea. We don't know if she already is gone by the time he showed up.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't know if they've even met. It's a very
ambiguous sequence of events. Maybe she just left the jewelry in the hotel room and fucked off.
Yeah. Yeah, it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different things that could happen there.
Yeah.
And the interpretation of the ghost leaving.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. That hurts. It hurts my brain.
I know. Yeah. That really broke me the first time I watched it. I was like, this is a really cool sequence.
Yeah.
But then it cuts to, after the guy gets caught, it cuts to Kristen Stewart again. I was like, wait. Like watching this movie for the first time, that hotel sequence when, you know, it shows the something leaving and then it shows him leaving. I was like, oh, he's killed her.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought, oh, the movie's ending soon.
Yeah. No, it's got like 20, not 20, yeah. maybe like 10, 15
oh,
more
yeah,
minutes.
It keeps going. There's a part where they talk about, they do a few moments to note that early psychics and early mediums taking photographs and art can count as like abstract art before abstract was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this subplot about that.
Yeah, that's right. That artist.
Yeah. There's a whole part where she's watching a YouTube about it.
Mm-hmm.
And people are telling her about it. And so I wonder how that relates to the overall film.
I don't know. I know the Knox system, and I can't remember if they address it in the movie, but the Knox system was a famous hoax.
Oh yeah, I know that. Yeah, they were like clicking their toes or something.
Or somebody in the next room would be bumping it, or like they'd be.
It's like the easiest hoax.
Yeah.
Like it's, you hear the knocks and you're like, hey, is that just somebody else? And they're like, no. And it's like, all right.
All
I believe right. you because well, it's a really long time ago and I believe anything.
Right.
I'm so bored.
I still think vampires are a thing, so I'm going to take your word for it. I still think radium cures the flu or whatever.
Yeah, I had a cough, so I am on heroin right now.
Right.
I will believe anything you tell me, Victorian twin ladies or whoever the fuck you are.
Yeah.
You're terrifying. Why is everything so scary when we live? Do you think Victorian people were like, man, we're creepy as fuck?
Yeah, we're all terrifying. Who's making us wear these things?
Yeah.
This is scary as shit. I don't know. Like, I had that in the back of my mind in the film's ending when she's like, or is it just me? And it's one knock. And I'm like, okay. Like, so does that mean that she's imagining these things? Does that mean, is that more proof that she is in fact the ghost now?
Would you argue, by the way, that the last shot is from the point of view of the ghost? Because she looks right down the barrel of the camera at one point. So it's keeping her eyeline right at the camera. She's hovering near the camera. So it's very personal.
Right. I think it's the same as in the new Invisible Man, where it's creating the presence of the ghost, but it's up to us to decide whether or not it's actually there.
There's a few moments like that. The moment where she changes in the dress and... By the way, there's a lot of Kristen Stewart in this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. you want to see Kristen Stewart naked and masturbate on a very fancy bed, then this is for you.
This is the film for you.
This is the film for you. I was a surprise to this viewer.
Yeah, it was like I became an old lady, and I was like, oh, my. Like...
Well, no, it wasn't that.
I just
it was
didn't
just like
see
this
it coming.
This, yeah, like again, like the couple of ghost sightings in the film. Like the movie's not doing anything to. I don't want to say like the movie's lyrical because that sounds pretentious as shit, and I don't even know if that's accurate.
Right.
But it's not it doesn't feel like it's ever pushing you in any direction emotionally. It's just things, it's kind of very neutral, and then things will happen. So
yeah,
I
find
just,
yourself
I just wasn't anticipating that that's the kind of night she was about to have.
Right. She was, well, the whole, what I liked about that is that it's all shot, it's shot in a oneer. A lot of it. It's very
like
voyeuristic.
Yeah. I was about to use that word. Yeah.
Yeah. And you think like, again, like, are we a presence witnessing this?
Yeah.
'Cause it's a lot about the themes are, it's a level of like, it's represents, I feel like, what a ghost would be, is that this Kira woman and her are so intimate in their knowledge of each other, or her knowledge of her, of Kira.
Mm-hmm.
She witnesses her death, you know, like she has every it's like a marriage, but it's also completely impersonal.
Yeah, they never see each other, they're in each other's orbit.
Yeah, and I feel like scenes like that are the same, where it's like, it's very intimate, but it's not. Everything feels like everybody's haunting each other.
Exactly, yeah. And everybody quite literally is in the film.
Yeah.
Like, even her relationship with her quasi-boyfriend is all done via, like, Skype, and, like, they're at least speaking to each other, but there's still that huge gulf of distance between them. Like, she's in Paris, he's in Oman.
Right. There was a review I read that pointed out, like, her biggest co-star is a phone.
Yep.
In this movie, it's just her and a phone.
Yep.
And I don't think I don't think they're trying to comment on technology.
No,
they
not
just
at all.
Found technology as a very good tool to show this distance.
Right. It especially if the whole theme of the movie is to illustrate what it is to be a ghost in like every possible definition of that term.
Yes. That texting sequence is also a parade of subtle brags that train stations in Europe are way better than America.
Oh yeah, they're pretty righteous. You can just take the train to, where does she go, Germany, to pick up her clothes.
She has like four cups of coffee. She keeps like going to get food at these amazing little like train station kiosks, and I'm like, what the fuck.
Yeah, I wish we had that, but
yeah, come on Europe, or come on America.
Come on America,
we got the states that we got to get to. Like, it's not, we're big. We could put a fucking, yeah, do like a cool train. Do a cool train system with coffee. It's mostly the coffee. Man.
Yeah.
This fucking movie.
This fucking, incidentally, what's it feel like to be a ghost is a Taking Back Sunday song.
Nice. Nice. But that is, yeah, that's what this movie is. It's like Ghost Simulator. They could have called it Ghost Sim.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
Ghost,
make that
Sim,
a game.
2016.
Untitled Ghost Game.
Untitled Ghost Game.
Yeah. Let's fuck with people as a ghost.
Yeah. Oh, that would be fun as hell.
Yeah,
there,
it would be.
Are you sure? Is there no ghost that...
Somebody must have done this game. This must exist, yeah.
I don't know. I think this is one of the most underrated recent like horror movies of the last like 5 years. Mm-hmm.
To illustrate that point,
okay.
I'm recording this out in the front room of my house, facing our patio door, which is glass, and I can see reflections behind me. My wife just walked in the room and scared the absolute soul out of me because I'm thinking about this movie and looking at the reflection, and then in she slides.
She's
like
got that Victorian
ghost from
ghost
the ring.
Energy.
Yeah, she does. Big Victorian ghost energy.
I had something similar. I was watching this today, and when a shot went dark and I could see my own reflection in the TV, it made me jump.
Yeah.
Because
it's a good movie. This movie scares me.
It scares me too. It fucking scares me to the core.
Yeah.
Because of what it's
deeply unsettling.
With.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's like a level of reality to it. Again, the people are the biggest threat. But the ghosts like loom over it all because
the ghosts, they're all sinister.
Yeah,
everything's sinister.
Yeah. The people prove to be the biggest threat, which isn't to say the ghosts aren't a threat.
Right. We're just never shown what they would possibly do.
Yeah. Maybe give you a wedgie. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's just something. I just love this genre of horror. We talk about it with, you know, like a lot of movies I think have gotten a lot of popularity for doing this genre, which is the more vibe-ish horror, where mm-hmm. it's atmospheric, it's artistic, it's, you know, the It Follows and The Witch. But yeah. this is like even more of that downplayed, you know what I mean? Like even less happens in terms of actual supernatural things.
Right, but it does it in a way, like those movies are still priming you to be in that space.
Yes.
And this movie does not, which is why that first ghost sighting is such a gut punch.
Yeah, exactly. And you could argue this doesn't escalate ever, but it does.
No, it doesn't.
But it
not in terms of not in terms of the way it's not yeah, not in terms of the way it's filmed. The movie never tells you, "Okay, now you're supposed to feel escalating action." Escalating action happens.
Yeah.
And like the intensity increases, but the actual filmmaking of it never tells you that that's happening.
Right. It's not a slow burn. I wouldn't say
no,
it counts
no, I would
as
not
a slow
call
burn.
It that. No.
It's not a film that starts really like slow and then ends with everybody covered in blood worshiping Satan or something crazy happening. It's kind of constant throughout. But there's definitely, I mean, the part where she finds Kira's body is definitely, I think, like the peak of the horror.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Of like the traditional horror.
Yeah.
And then it's just these like moments of intense dread and like, it's weird because it's not fear. It's just like creepy as shit.
Right. It's just this real suffocating, like, it creates this constant presence, which is what it's meant to do. Like,
yeah.
Like we pointed out, there's so many shots that create the presence of a spirit or cast you as the presence, or it's like that hotel shot that we still can't unravel. It's like there's something there, something's leaving. So it's just like you just constantly feel it around you, which makes it, once you turn the movie off, you're like looking around your house like, I don't know about this.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. It's such a good
way
to do this.
It's hard to shake the feeling that it creates in you. It really is.
Yeah, I think like, people will be turned off by what the point of the movie is, because it's not a straightforward horror movie. It's not really a, you know, like it's not as satisfying, I guess, as a horror movie normally is. It's mm-hmm. more ambiguous. It's more, you know, it's more of a drama.
Yeah.
So I think horror fanatics might get frustrated by it because it does the horror really well, but the horror isn't really like the point.
And it sort of avoids all the horror beats.
Yes.
So
yeah.
If you go into this looking for like an It Follows or The Witch, that's not what this is.
No, that's not what this is. That's why I like it. It's just like kind of watching it's kind of a chill drama too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of moments where we just stay on her for a while. A lot of scenes play out.
Yes.
Because again, it's sort of the point. And like you get information out of it, but it's almost all building on characters. That's the thing, is the exposition is almost all just like learning more about what kind of a person this is, as opposed to like,
it's almost anti-exposition
kind of, with like the murder and the text and stuff.
Yeah, we're not told much. It's all creating an impression of what her life is.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's very smart, again, where they never say like, oh, these texts are from this guy. But it's like you sort of, you know, they know you're smart and you're like, yeah, of course it is. Who else? We've only met one other person.
We've met one other character, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, who else could it be?
Yeah, this weird creepy guy who was clearly kind of hitting on her.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, of course it's fucking him. Send her a fucking weird poetry text.
Yeah, guess who? I never respond. I have never responded to that text.
Oh, if I get an unknown number, this is like, guess who this is? I'd be like, it's a number I'm immediately blocking.
Yeah. Just like, nope, I'm not dealing with this.
I don't care if it's you, it's me from the future. If it's me from the future would know that I wouldn't put up with that bullshit.
Right, you would say, Dave, it's Dave from the future. Yeah.
If it's a dead sibling, it's like, again, like, don't
climb to the top of the tower. Repeat.
Yeah. That's one of the funniest parts to me in this movie is that her text back, it's like I felt old because I was like, you fucking millennial, even though I'm pretty sure I'm probably the same age, probably a little older than Kristen Stewart. But they made her text so like, LOL, are you for real? Like spelled out. Like
yeah.
it's all It was like her texting style infuriated me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because she's just, I know most people probably text like that, but it was like, write them out. Write the words out, Kirsten.
I don't because I'm too trained to just typing.
Right.
But like, I don't, it doesn't bother me.
No, it doesn't actually bother me that much. It's just, I don't know. She was so like emo. And then her texting was so not emo. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the fact that she was like buying into him. That's the other part where I was like, oh no, don't fucking text that edgelord. Like, even if she's not a murderer, he doesn't deserve your time.
She's looking for anything.
Yeah, I know. That's the point. That she literally says, "Are you my dead brother?"
And yeah,
he's probably reading that, going, "Jackpot!"
Right.
I am an emotional predator. This is perfect.
he's both kinds of predator, actually. Yeah,
that's a good point. He's every kind of predator.
He's
I guess.
Every kind of predator.
I wouldn't be surprised if he could have if he had like right. camouflage.
I was gonna say he turns invisible and has a laser gun. Like he's all predators.
He's covering all bases. Oh man. Yeah, fucking see this movie. I guess is my recommendation.
Yeah, it's very good.
It's very good.
Good ass film.
Yeah, I have nothing more to say about it.
I do not as well.
Well, thank you, Ozzy, again for letting us talk about this movie. And being a subscriber and giving us your support. You're lovely.
Yeah, you're a peach.
Yep.
You're a real pip.
Yeah, I love your name cuz you're like you start with an A and it's like, "Oh, I see what side of the alphabet we're doing things. I see where we're going." And then you're like, "U, Z, Z, Y." And it's like, "What?"
Yeah.
Because really that's the other side.
You flipped it on its head, man. You inverted
it. Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
That's wild.
Yeah. Guys, thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you so much for hanging out.
Yeah, I hope you're doing
good.
With your ears. Thanks for sticking your ears all up in our shit.
Yeah, just cramming them in there.
Yeah, if you're interested, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have exclusive podcasts on there. Tom and Jeff watch Batman, and Fox Mulder is a maniac.
Mm-hmm.
We have other tiers, but you know, if times are tough, so whatever, man. You can leave us a review on Apple iTunes. That's free to do and much appreciated if you have the time.
Yeah, any place you listen, leave us a review. It helps us out.
Yeah.
And we do have a store, but fuck it.
Yeah.
Not going to ask you to buy a t-shirt right now.
Yeah, everybody just be good.
Everybody just, yeah, be good. Take care of each other.
Wash your hands. Stay
indoors.
Wash
your hands.
Yeah, wash your hands. Wash your whole body, really.
Probably wash your ears after cramming them in our shit, too.
Yeah,
And get that and scrub those down, yeah.
I did a good ear scrub recently, like behind, like with, like a real good one. It feels so good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's great. It's the best.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wonderful. Like it's, I could go on about the ear scrub, but I guess I shouldn't.
That's why I'm stopping this.
Okay.